I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Last time on It's a Good Life, we left off in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 2. It says, "And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maids thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." And as I said in our last lesson, that the kindred would be on the threshing floor. And of course, the kindred was Boaz. And we see that Christ is also our kindred. And we read those verses, some of those verses, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, and Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. And we also saw that Hosea says, "Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud." This is speaking of people who are unsaved now in Hosea chapter 13 and verse 3. "Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with a whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney." You say, "Well, that makes me feel bad. You know, I think you shouldn't be talking like that." Well, I'm not talking like that. The Bible says that. The Bible says the unsaved are just like the chaff. The chaff is the worthless part of the wheat. The chaff is what's going to be blown away. And this is what the Bible likens the unsaved person to. You need to get saved if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, we're looking at the book of Ruth, God's message of love. We look at the whole Bible, once again, as God's message of love. But particularly now, the book of Ruth, God's message of love. God loves us. God loves people. And notice that as Ruth was going to the threshing floor. When was Ruth to go to the threshing floor? Well, this time tonight, it says there. This was an appointed time for Ruth. Well, mankind has an appointed time according to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Right now is the time for a person to come to Jesus. And right now is the time for the Christian to acknowledge Christ to this world, to let everybody know that Jesus saves, that Jesus loves. We looked at that in our last lesson, how that God loves us so much and Jesus loves us so much. Well, in verse 3, we look now how to approach one who is greater. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "And Naomi," once again talking to Ruth, she said, "Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking." We see here a cleansing and waiting. Ruth needed to be clean before she went to the threshing floor to approach Boaz. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." As a safe person, we need to have clean hands. We need to go to God and we need to say, "Lord, I know there's things in my life that is not exactly the way you want them. And Lord, I don't want them that way either. And I confess my sin before you that I can have fellowship with you." And once again, as an unsaved person, you need to confess sin and just say, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I can't save myself. Please come into my heart." We're cleansed that way by going to God and confessing sin and saying, "Lord, forgive me." A saved person needs to be clean before approaching the Lord. And we see so many verses that speaks about this in John 15 and verse 3 and Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 and 1 John, and I quoted that verse, 1 John 1:9, you can read verse 8 as well. But we're clean as we go to the Lord when we confess sin. Now, that doesn't mean you're lost, saved person. Nobody's perfect. And I'm not telling you that it's right to sin, but I'm telling you that we get dirty in this world. And we need to confess sin in order to have a right relationship with the Lord. Well, we don't lose our salvation, but we lose that fellowship that we need to have constantly with our Lord by saying, you know, that fellowship can be restored by saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to serve you, and I'm sorry for that sin in my life. Well, we see that there's cleansing, and we see that there's waiting. Ruth needed to wait until Boaz had finished eating and drinking. Well, mankind is able to come to Christ because of his finished work on Calvary. We come to Christ because he finished the job. He did what he came to do, and that's the story, that Jesus came and he did what he wanted to do and what he was supposed to do. And as we see this, as he died on that cross, John chapter 19 and verse 30 says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The devil no longer had, you know, could say, well, I've got the upper hand on him. I've killed him. Jesus says, no, you not so fast. It is finished. I've done what I've come to do. And he said, now I'm going to the graves. In essence, I'm going to the grave. And the Bible says that he went to the grave and he rose on that third day. He is alive today that you and I can have eternal life. Well, Ruth chapter 3 and verse 4 goes on to say, and it shall be when he lieth down. This is Boaz lying down. You know, Naomi is telling, giving Ruth instruction here. It says that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. We see here a proposal. Now, there is absolutely no contextual suggestion of illicit behavior in Ruth for lying at the feet of Boaz. Don't let anybody tell you this was inappropriate, but this is exactly what she was supposed to do as a Jewish lady here, as a Jewish young girl. And the Bible makes it clear that she lies down at the feet, which is quite different from lying down directly beside him. And you know, you go to Luke chapter 10, verses 39 and verse 42, and you read more about this, but Boaz would be sleeping at the threshing floor to guard his crop. That's why he would be there. There were robbers back then. There were people who would steal back then. We think we got it bad today, but there were still robbers back then, crooks, thieves. Well, Naomi told Ruth also to listen to Boaz's words. He will tell thee what thou shalt do. This is what Naomi said that would take place. Well, having become suited to the presence of Boaz, Ruth's course is plain here. She is to lie down at the feet of Boaz and listen to his words. And as Naomi says, he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Well, this takes us in thought to that scene at Bethany described in Luke chapter 10, where we read Mary and about her, where she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Luke chapter 10, verse 39 says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. This is carried over now. We see a likeness here of how Ruth was to be at the feet of Boaz. Well, the great lack today is that we get in too much of a hurry, so there is little time for being alone with the Lord to hear the word. Remember, Naomi told Ruth, listen to him, listen to the word. Lie at his feet, listen to his word. The Lord says it is one thing needful that we need to listen. Luke chapter 10 and verse 42 says, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, he says, which shall not be taken away from her. May we hear the voice of the Lord through Naomi. And like Ruth, we need to answer this way. All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 5 says that. And thus, when we're washed, anointed, and clothed, may we sit in his presence and hear his word. Well, Ruth chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says this, and she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Ruth told Naomi this. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Well, Ruth does as instructed. Ruth said to Naomi, I'm going to do what you said. And Ruth went down to that floor and did everything that her mother-in-law told her to do. And she told her to wash herself, to get ready, and to do everything that was necessary to get close to this man. In Ruth chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, and when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, it doesn't mean he was drunk. doesn't mean that he was out of his mind with liquor. It simply means that he had worked hard and he was ready for rest. He had eaten and he was satisfied with the harvest. It says that he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. Notice uncovered feet here. Boaz was happy. He was merry. He was not drunk. And Ruth approaches Boaz respectfully. She came softly. And Ruth also shows honor to Boaz by laying at his feet. Remember, Mary was at the feet of Jesus. Ruth is told by Naomi, uncover his feet and lay thee down. Well, Ruth used an ancient Near Eastern custom to propose marriage to Boaz. This might surprise you. But Boaz is older than Ruth and refers to her as daughter in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 8 and chapter 3 and verse 10. Ruth expressed her desire to marry Boaz, which the older, gracious Boaz would have never initiated with a younger woman. And we see that traditionally here, the act of uncovering the feet and requesting a portion of a blanket was a sign of marriage. We ought to try to see this account for what it is. It's an example of two people who love each other and want to approach each other in the most honest, humble, and godly way possible. I want you to note this, if you would. Ruth laid down at Boaz's feet and pulled his cloak over her feet, uncovering his feet. We see this, that Ruth was letting Boaz know, as the nearest of kin, that she was claiming him as Goel. This is a Hebrew word which means kinsman redeemer. This was a Jewish custom under Mosaic law, and what was at stake here was not only the redeeming of Naomi's husband's property, but the need for a male child to carry on the name of Naomi's son, Nahlon, who was Ruth's deceased husband, according to Ruth chapter 4 and verse 10. All through this book, we see likenesses, likening us to Ruth and likening Boaz as our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. All through this book of Ruth, we see God's message of love. And I trust that you know about God's love today and you've trusted him as your Savior. And saved person, I want you to understand how much God so loved you that he's allowed you to carry his name, Christian, throughout this world. And you need to be responsible for that name. You need to go forth and tell others how that they can be saved by God's love. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Carry that message of God's love to everyone you come into contact with. Speak to them. Give them a tract. Do what you can to help that person find Jesus Christ as Savior.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly, is our prayer.